This episode of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast is being sponsored by Songfinch. Are you looking for something to make your wedding even more unique and memorable? Songfinch is a personalized gifting company that brings stories, feelings, and memories to life through one-of-a-kind songs. Create the perfect first dance song. Tell your parents how much they mean to you in a song for the mother-son or father-daughter dance. Or create a love song for your wedding website. With so many possibilities, their community of 300-plus songwriters and musicians are sure to create a song that represents one of the best days of your life. There are two different ways to create your personalized song. One, build from an existing foundation. Browse and select the perfect music, vocalist, and chorus that speaks to your heart. Share your stories to help shape the song's lyrics and your selected vocalist writes and records two new personalized verses to make the song yours. Or build from scratch. Share your stories to help shape the song's lyrics. Select your song's mood, genre, and vocalist type to shape the song's sound, and they will select the perfect songwriter to record your one-of-a-kind song from scratch. Songfinch is offering listeners of the Big Wedding Planning Podcast a discount. Use promo code BIGWEDDING for 10% off your personalized song from scratch. Again, promo code BIGWEDDING for a 10% discount off of your personalized song from scratch. Thank you so much, Songfinch. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen. Learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thanks for listening today.
Welcome. Up, Christy Matthews?
What's up? Oh, you're nailing this.
This worked out good.
Yeah.
I was prepared to say, or what's up, dude? Yeah.
As long as you don't say thank you, you're meeting your goal.
And thank you.
Yes.
For, again, welcome. Thank you.
If we haven't welcomed you already, we want to welcome you to the podcast. Maybe you're listening for the first time. This is usually about how good it goes in the introduction.
So you're maybe all caught up with the intros.
Yes, maybe this is your 80, what? We don't even know. Maybe this is your 89th or 90th episode. We're scheduling out for summer 2018 at this point. And
are we really?
Can you believe we've been doing this for over a year?
Yeah.
Well over a year.
Cray cray.
So we're getting into big time wedding season now. That's the idea. So we think a lot of you listening are planning your weddings, and we hope that that's going well.
And that we're helping you.
And we hope we're helping you. How are you, Michelle?
I'm good. You know, I'm good. It was a busy morning, and my husband, Jose Luis, is on a plane on his way to New York. So I'm going to have a couple of those nights where I get the bed all to myself and, you know, hopefully the kids will not give me problems at bedtime and I can just like, you know, watch Netflix and like, you know, do whatever I want.
That sounds amazing. I can't stop reading about that Southwest airplane.
Wait a minute.
I'm obsessed with that story because it's so horrific.
Well, I didn't know until this morning and I hit my Alexa like, what's the news? And it's like on a flash briefing, it's like a person was sucked out of the window of a Southwest airplane.
That's the part I'm obsessed with. I'm getting like every detail I can. It's why do I do that? I delve into the things I most fear.
That as soon as I heard that, I'm like, and I like stopped it. I don't even know what happened. That's all I know.
Some comedian on Twitter was like, well, at least flight attendants won't have to tell everybody to buckle their seatbelts 100 times for the next couple of weeks because you know all of us are going to be like, click. Oh, that shit is crazy.
Jeez. I don't even know if my husband knows about it. Well, he doesn't. He
I think
probably
most
care.
People who read news alerts on their phone
yeah.
at all know about it.
He flies all the time, too. But, like, how does that even happen?
The engine exploded, and it's right next to... That's why there's one row on every plane, kind of right in the middle over the wings, that doesn't have a window. That, like, they just have a blank wall. They have no window. You'll notice it next time, because that's because if something ever happens at the engine or the wings or the propeller or whatever, if something happens and shrapnel comes towards the plane, it could bust a window. And that's exactly what happened on this.
Oh,
yeah. That something exploded and then they were going, you know, the pilot has to land this like heroic emergency, whatever. But a window broke and like shrapnel went into the plane. I believe that's what killed someone, but another person was like partially sucked out and other passengers pulled her back in.
Oh,
yes. And that's
oh,
what
so
I
she didn't fly out the window.
The update I've read, at least the most current, and by the time this episode comes out, this will be like totally old news. But
yeah.
The person that died on the plane. The person that got window situation got pulled back in. I don't know. They could not be telling us everything, but those are the details.
I'm so sorry. Anyways, for whoever's
it doesn't happen
whoever
very
that
often.
Is that passed and their family, and that's just really freaky.
Crazy.
And that's just awful. I feel like I don't need to know about that. Like I don't That's when social media sucks, because yes, the airline needs to know. And then, you know, whoever works on airplanes, like that's all stuff you learn and fix things. But like, I don't need to know about that. My kids don't need to know. I don't want to know about that.
There's a lot of stuff on the news that we don't want to know about right now. But
that's why I literally like the only reason I listened this morning is because I didn't go to the gym early. And I was like, oh, I think I'll listen to the flash briefing this morning. Nope. Don't want to hear what's going on.
We're the opposite. I read, like, before I even get out of bed, I'm reading all, like, Washington Post and New York Times and CNN.
No. Headlines. Don't do that. That just sets the tone for your day, Christy Matthews.
It keeps me informed and fired up.
But do you need to know the stupid shit people do? Do you really?
I'm not talking about, like, stuff our president does, like, big,
well, exactly.
big things.
That's what I mean. Stupid shit that people do, including well, him.
I try to stay in the know so I can just be perpetually, like, ready at a Starbucks when two dudes are, like, getting taken out. I'm going to be the person that's like, no, not today, not on my watch.
Oh, yeah.
We're
going to
check our white privilege.
They're going to shut down Starbucks, right? For, like, one day.
Remember when Chipotle did that? I remember, because it was one of the only days in my life I wanted to go to Chipotle, and it was closed when I walked up to the door. But they did it to, like, train on food safety. So Starbucks is going to do it, train on, implicit racist bias. So
unbelievable that there needs to be training on that still in this, you know, there's just people out there that are just dumb, and I want no part of it. You know, just meditate in the morning, man. Drink some water, meditate. Can we all just get along?
I don't know. You're drinking water and meditating. I'm like chugging four cups of coffee and and devouring news, and this is all before 7:30 a.m. So that's why we're so good together, because
we
go about things in an opposite way. Okay, so I don't have a good segue, except that we have a guest today. And Michelle, you and I have known each other for a long time. I think I've known this guest longer than I've known you.
Oh,
or
how long?
Very, very close, because we all met in the Bay Area. So on our podcast today, and who's been listening in as we babble about all of this stuff, is wedding photographer Ashley Page. Welcome. You're based in the OC.
Hi, guys.
She's in the OC. She's in Cali, hi. Like me, but you're in Southern California, where
yes.
things are a little different.
And warm.
And warmer.
Yes, and where you grew up.
Yeah, I grew up down here, and then I spent 12 years in San Francisco, and the sun was calling me back.
So you're total, you're like a valley girl?
No.
Like totally?
No.
Oh, okay.
If I was living on Haight Street for 7 years, got rid of that.
Yeah. But you do.
I'm more of a hippie.
You do look like a California girl, I think. You.
Is that a compliment?
Yeah, like I think if somebody met you in, you know, Europe and they you were like, oh, I'm American, they'd be like, you're from California, aren't you?
Yes, they all know.
I would think so. So you're a wedding photographer, but when we met, we were both working at the Cheesecake Factory, same place I met my husband, and where your sister met her husband.
Yeah.
And we were all working together for a while when all of us were single.
Were you all servers?
I'm the only one that didn't meet my husband there.
The girls were servers. Lance was a manager, and Ashley's now brother-in-law was a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the days, huh?
You guys must have gotten crazy.
I actually got fired for having a little bit of pink in my hair.
Pink. Having pink in your hair?
Yeah, I put a little bit of pink color underneath my hair, just like one little strip, and I got fired for that.
You know, they let a lot more go now. They have servers with like full sleeves.
I've heard, which is good. Yeah. Progressive.
They've loosened up.
Yeah.
Maybe you had something to do with that, you rebel.
I like to think so.
They were like, can you take that pink out of your hair or else you're going to lose your job? And you were like, nah, I'm going to keep it.
Yeah.
Bye, you guys.
I said no. That's really how it went.
So I remember when we were like friends, when we didn't work there anymore, but we were friends in San Francisco and hanging out, and you were bartending, and by then you had met somebody that you were with, and you started doing photography, and I started doing wedding plannings under Michelle at about the same time, right? How
right
did you actually get
me.
Started? Yes, physically under her. I carried her on my shoulders.
I think it's been about 10 years that I've been shooting weddings now, so that sounds about right.
Oh, wow,
You started doing, messing around. I know you shot, Dave and Nicole a lot, just friends and family kind of to figure it out, right?
Yeah, just anyone I can practice on. You know, I actually started photography in high school, so I did a lot of it in high school, but it was film back then because I'm old. So I was shooting film, so then when I switched to digital, I started practicing on anyone and everyone that would let me just to get it down.
And how did you get to where you are today with weddings, kind of with this California style you have?
Practice, practice, practice. I feel like when I first started, I was shooting on my own, but I was also shooting under a lot of other photographers who were more established and well-known in San Francisco. And I think just second shooting for them on weddings or even third shooting when I was really new, it's the best way to get experience and just kind of learn as you go and get more exposure. So second shooting was really helpful for me to get started. And then I probably took my first wedding on my own about, 8 or 9 years ago now as the lead photographer.
So you were working for about a year just learning and assisting and awesome.
Yeah, probably about 1 to 2 years of just shooting for other people. I also worked for this company called George Street Photo. They're across the U.S., so they're pretty big, where they actually hire out, they have photographers in all cities and stuff. So I would shoot under their name for about a year.
That's like contract work, right?
Which was a good way. Yeah, it's basically contracted out. So you're shooting, but you're under someone else's brand.
For weddings or?
Yeah, for weddings.
And would it be at a lower price point?
Yeah, I think they're lower. I don't know exactly what they charge, but then they would just contract out photographers and pay us by the hour. I think I started at $50 an hour.
Wow.
To shoot these weddings, and they're about 8-hour weddings, so I would get $400 for the day. But who knows what they're charging?
Well, what do you think about, how was that for you?
For me, it was great to learn the experience, but also I wasn't liable. So I didn't have to have all the insurances, the contracts, and, photography just isn't taking a nice picture. It's running your own whole business. So I have to know how to do all the contracts and the liability and have insurance and sales and marketing and working with, you know, there's the whole business end. So that was nice because I got to shoot weddings and get the portfolio work and the experience without having to have my whole business set up.
Christy, is this like what we were talking about on the show once when somebody emailed us about?
It's a really similar company. That's
a very racy subject for us.
Yeah, that there's a couple of these like nationwide. Bride had emailed us, Ashley, and was asking like, this company is only going to, it's a 10-hour contract for the photographer and it's only, I don't know, $1,100 or something. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of them? And the big red flag is that you don't get to meet your photographer ahead of time with this specific company. You kind of just get who you get.
Yeah.
And I have done a wedding. It wasn't with George Street. It was with another one of these big nationwide companies. And it, the photographer, you know, like you said, was getting paid by the hour, but wasn't taking the experience very seriously. And the photos, he didn't like ghost them afterwards, but it took a long time to get the photos. And then like huge chunks of the timeline were missing. And the bride and groom were like, where's all the, those pictures you took before the ceremony or whatever. And it was a long, difficult process to get more photos. Anyway, long story short, we had given this bride advice, like, we think it's better to go with a photographer who has an established business for all the reasons that you just mentioned, because then they are responsible and liable and they take pride in their work and they've done all the stuff to have a business with insurance and lawyers and contracts, and you're in good hands if you hire somebody that you click with.
Of course.
Because it is more than just a portfolio. We encourage anybody that's going to hire a wedding photographer to meet them ahead of time.
Yeah, at least meet them or at least have a phone call. Like sometimes people hire me and they live in Florida, but they're having a destination wedding in Laguna Beach. So we'll have a Skype or a phone call and you just get to know each other. Makes them more comfortable. And also when you're hiring a bigger company like that, the portfolios that they're showing you isn't necessarily the work of the photographer that they're going to send to you.
Exactly.
That's what we said. Yeah. So that's what I'm curious then to expand on this and see for you having, when you were starting out, this was a good resource for you, right, Ashley? And, you know, obviously you have a natural talent and you were good and you probably worked hard with this. But our thing is, like, we don't feel like you said, like, the photos that we're seeing on this website, they're stock images, they're photos from somebody else, not necessarily who you'll get. So when they would book you, George Street, let's say, for a wedding, would you then meet with the couple in person?
No. No, you never meet them. You just show up on the day of. They send you a timeline.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. It's very impersonal.
Yeah, it's very impersonal. Would George Street send your portfolio to the couple? Would they know who you're going to be?
Yes, they would send like a gallery of sample images that I have shot that I sent in.
Would they give them options before they booked it and say, here's three options of photographers, which one do you want?
I think so, but to be honest, like I said, this was 10 years ago.
You don't remember.
I wasn't on that end.
Yeah.
So that's all this other, the sales and marketing end. I would just show up and shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how they handle things on the sales side.
Yeah. So it's a very, this is
still tricky.
This is the thing. And Christy and I, you know, we have people listening who are all over the place with regard to their budgets, like a wide range. They might have a really, you know, huge budget for a wedding and they may have barely anything and this is all they can afford. And if they go with a company like George Street, crossing fingers, they'll get someone like you, right? That's starting out, that has a natural talent, that is professional and going to do a great job. But it doesn't always happen that way. As with, you know, True. Any new vendor, right? Like when we were new, people were taking a chance with us.
Mm-hmm. We encouraged her, the bride that wrote about it, and would encourage anyone listening to look a little bit more, do a little bit more research into photographers in the area. Because while a bigger nationwide company that does subcontracts might have a really great budget price point, and of course they do because that's a big draw for them, you might be able to find someone independently that can match or come really close to that more modest budget, who's, we think, maybe more accessible, it's a more personal experience, and will be held more accountable afterwards.
Yeah, I agree. I think that you should hire a photographer, even more localized, someone who's starting out, if your budget's lower, that you click with, you can meet them, you get along. Because the most important thing I would say on a wedding day is to trust your photographer. So you need to have that trust, and you need to make sure you guys vibe. Because we're spending so much time with you on that day. Like, I'm with the bride more than some of her best friend or her mom or dad are.
Yes, we talk about that so much.
It's so important.
It's your planner, your photographer, as two vendors that you actually need to, like, you want to be friends with them in real life. You would go have a drink with them. You don't have to feel that way about your florist or your cake baker necessarily, or even your DJ. People that perform a service and are professionals and experienced, they can do a great job, but your photographer and that click and vibe that you have with them is so important, because they can get the best photos out of you that way if you trust them.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also, they're just literally in your face all day long. You have to.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, you have to. And when there's not a planner, Ashley, I would assume you kind of feel like you have to direct things a little bit too.
Yeah. I've definitely been in that situation where, like, now I have it in my contract that you have to have a planner if your wedding is larger. Because I shot a wedding this past summer. It was over 200-person wedding with no planner or coordinator.
Oh, my.
So instead of taking photos, I was going around getting guests and telling them to go take their seat because we were 45 minutes past the timeline for dinner.
Oh, yikes.
And I knew that my coverage time was over and they weren't going to be able to cut their cake or do their first dance because they were running so late. So it's really important to have some kind of planner or coordinator, especially if you have somewhat of a larger wedding.
Yeah. Man, if I could just magnify and that moment that you just explained, the one of the biggest reasons to have someone, a professional, coordinating that moment that you just described, Ashley, is like,
yeah, that's
it's
our,
not just a moment. That's huge. That is huge.
Not just that you have to, like, find the aunts and uncles for the specific family portrait. That's something that sometimes photographers have to do, like wrangling, that if there's a planner, they don't have to do. And that's annoying and time consuming. But this, like, actually getting people, ushering people to the next stage of the wedding and the next micro event, that is something a planner does behind the scenes and sets the groundwork to do. So that the photographer, like, can just follow along and shoot.
For anybody. Yeah. Shouldn't it be? It's not the photographer's job to go out and gather 200 people and try and get them to sit down for dinner when they don't want to leave cocktail hour. Planners do that.
Christy and I would have already had sat down and created a whole shoot list and have given that to you already in advance. And we would have made sure that the couple had a family member who was in charge of wrangling everybody already. And we would have coordinated with you and your assistant and the caterer.
And the DJ would be helping us with announcements to move people in. Mm-hmm. And there would be doors opening up and bars shutting down. And it's like a machine. All the pieces affect another piece, and the photographer in the most ideal situation for a wedding, the photographer should be documenting everything as it happens rather than trying to make anything happen. At least that's my opinion as a planner.
Yeah, because they're paying their photographer a really good amount of money and they want your attention and they want your talent, and it needs to, you know, that's your sole job, not wrangling people, not, you know, the caterer going, what time are you going to be done? You know, like, you need all of your attention focused on those photos that are going to last beyond the couple's lives and into the grandchildren and great grandchildren.
You know, photography is the product afterwards. Like, our job is
true.
Over.
It's the only thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Everything's over. The cake is gone. The flowers are dead. All you have left is your photographs and your marriage. I always want to remind people.
Sure,
it's
sure.
Not
that's true.
The, it's
that
not
thing.
The wedding day. It's not just the wedding day. It's the marriage that's the most important. So
fast forward to where you are now. We said you're in the OC, so that's, you know, beautiful, classic Southern California for any of you across the country or
Orange
the world.
County, OC people who you don't know stands for Orange County. Although there was a show.
Yeah, there is. Several, right? Yes. And yeah. And it's very beachy, and it's very, I would say the income is higher than the rest of the state or country. And it has a certain look. It's a little fancy, but relaxed, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So who are your, okay, let's talk about your Instagram page, because that's what we're like drooling over, and we'll include links.
Dude, your Instagram's insane.
Thank you.
I love it.
But tell us the your Instagram handle right now so our listeners can look while they're listening.
Instagram is just at Ashley Page Photo, P-A-I-G-E.
And
Ashley Page Photo.
These people mm-hmm. look like they're all models, but the majority of them are not models. So who's
yeah,
your main
no, they're
demographic?
All real couples.
Who are these people that are drawn to you, that hire you, that you get these beautiful shots of?
They're all real couples. Most of them are living down here in Southern California. So you do get that blonde, beachy look, or that, you know, they're wearing flowy dresses. And
hair down.
They care. Yeah, hair down, kind of loose curls, beachy. Some of them are models or actresses. You know, we do live really close to Los Angeles. So I do get models or actresses or fashion bloggers. So could be seeing some of them on there as well.
And it looks like a lot of the photos are on beaches. You have some like desert scapes, but primarily outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm about 10 minutes away from Laguna Beach, which in my opinion, some of the most beautiful beaches in the world. So most clients want to kind of shoot what they see. So what they see on my Instagram gives them the ideas, and then they want that location. So I end up shooting at the same locations a lot because that's what people see. So we're about 10, 15 minutes from Laguna, and I would say I shoot in Laguna at least once a week.
And
have you ever done any celebrities' weddings?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
No, just bloggers and
influencers,
actresses and models, but no A-list. Not yet.
What's your favorite like time, and what does the day look like that you love to shoot in? We're talking about engagement photos. I should say that. Most of these.
Oh, yeah.
This whole.
We should talk about that aspect.
Our angle with Ashley when we first like tried to brainstorm how. Well, I just really wanted you on the podcast because I know you and I've worked with you. And it was like, what is she putting out there that's different than other wedding photographers that we're seeing that we can talk about? Like, this is your niche. And just in case you hadn't thought about it, we're just going to throw the niche on you for this purposes of this podcast. And that's
cool.
Like
bring
sexy
it on.
Beachy engagement photos with couples that look relaxed and they're affectionate and they're into each other. And you're getting these shots that look just like the cover of, a magazine. And it seems like the people that work with you must want, like you said, they want what they see. So our angle on the podcast for this episode was to, talk about like, how do they look like this? Who are like, how do they know each other? How do you get these amazing, seemingly effortless shots out of them? So these beach pictures we're talking about are engagement photos for the most part.
Yeah, which I love engagements, first of all, because let's face it, every photographer's favorite part of the wedding is like getting to shoot those couples' portraits, which on a wedding day, sometimes we're only given 10 or 15
minutes
for those photos.
That's true that that's your fave part of the day?
Yeah, I love the first look if they do one because it's so special. But my favorite part of the day is getting the alone time with the bride and groom because that's, in my opinion, what pictures that they're going to frame on their wall and what they're going to love the most is the bride and groom portraits. It's about them. So on an engagement, I get an hour, sometimes 2 hours alone with this couple that's super in love and excited, and we're in this warm beach, and sometimes they'll have some champagne or you put music on. And just really fun.
So setting the scene, that's not usually the first time you've met them.
Sometimes it is, actually. Most, I would say I meet about half my couples for a coffee or a glass of wine when they're interviewing me to see if they want to hire me. And then the other half, I just meet at the engagement session for the first time.
And is there a specific time of day? I don't know. There's the golden hour for photographers. What is that? Yes,
definitely the golden hour. It's the last hour at sunset time, right before the sunset. So the sun, it's really low in the sky. It's less harsh. It's soft. It's really good for lighting. It's really flattering. It's warm. You know, and also a lot of people, if you're shooting on the beach, a lot of the beachgoers have already went home. Especially right now because the sun isn't setting until 7:30, 7:45 p.m. So most people have packed up to go take the kids home for dinner and, you know, get them to bed. So the beaches are a lot less crowded.
Everything on your, this one, for example, that I'm obsessed with is at Joshua Tree National Park. And it's a picture of a couple kissing. He's got a beard and there's smoke. It looks like smoke, and there's the sun.
That was a smoke bomb.
Oh, you staged that.
It's probably a smoke bomb, yeah. We brought out the wedding planner I work with brought it. So it's already dusty out there, so it was already getting all this dust when we walked, kicked up. So then we also lit off the white smoke bomb to kind of add to that dust look.
Where does one get a smoke bomb? And really I didn't janky. Even know about this. They're really what?
janky. I think they're from China. You just go on Amazon or Google it and you can find them. And, you know, if you're going to try it, try two because sometimes one won't go off. And be really careful with them because they are fire. They will catch your clothes on fire if you touch it too close. So put them out in your hand, hold them far away from your bodies and just kind of walk or run around with it.
And there's colored ones. I just went on Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Michelle.
Yeah, if you look on my...
People are doing them for gender reveals.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Photos on totally. The wedding day instead of sparklers at the end.
Yes.
I'm so out of the know.
Well, they're...
They became really trendy.
Yeah, they're trendy right now. And I've seen a lot of pictures. There's a same-sex wedding blog that had all the...
The rainbow?
Yes. The bridesmaids and groomsmen were holding... All the wedding party was holding the rainbow ones. It looks really cool.
Well, I think that what you're doing in a lot of these is they're very sexy. They're very, there's a lot of, body talk in these photos.
There's a lot of side boob.
Chemistry. There's a lot of side boob. Yeah, that I was just looking at that. She's not wearing a bra. She's, clearly, she's got some good.
But the
boobs.
Pictures are sexy between the two of them.
How do you do that? Because it's as if they don't even know that you are there.
Yes, it's almost like a boudoir.
That's a compliment.
Angle to it.
I love that. I think that one of the most important things to getting those kind of photos is communication. So talking either before the shoot or right when you get there, I tell them, I am here to capture your connection together and your emotion. I'm not just here to take a pretty picture posed from far away. Yes, I will do those too, and maybe we'll start off with those ones to kind of ease you into the more intimate stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm taking these pictures. My main goal is to show that connection between you guys and that love. So don't be afraid to get close and to kiss. And maybe if you're not kissing enough, I'll make you kiss more. And
how? How do you work with
them
that way?
You're like, okay, now you put your hand right there. And now you whisper in his ear. How are you doing this?
You know, honestly, it depends with each couple. So you have to kind of read your couple first and get to know them a little. Some people are a little more standoffish or shy or conservative. And then some are like, bring it. I got my side boob hanging out. I'm ready.
They're we're going to have sex in front of you right now because we want that after sex.
They're a little bit more exhibitionist.
I got the slow jams on.
Little Al Green, little Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, so I think I kind of work differently with each couple and I kind of gear the shoot towards them and kind of what I'm feeling off them. Sometimes we'll start with a few standard portraits and poses to warm up. And then once they're comfortable with me and in front of the camera, we can get into more the sexy stuff. So also fun. So we'll start with, you know, walking towards me and holding hands. And when you get closer, I want you to like go in for an intimate kiss or pick her up and just giving them actions to do. Then standing there brings out more of how they would naturally do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What are some of your, like, what, if you have any stories or anecdotes of like, you know, this one couple or like your best couples? I know you love all of them, but something that was really fun or surprising. Like, I want you to have a story about some groom who was like, you thought was awkward and shy. And then as soon as you got behind the lens, he just was like, you know.
Oh, I definitely have that groom, Richard, from this past summer. He was one of my hardest guys interviewing me on the phone. He was so strict and he had an hour long interview and he still wasn't
sure. Was he a lawyer?
If he wanted to hire me. He's a contract. I think a contract
lawyers
lawyer.
Are so hard when they're about to hire you.
It was so crazy. I was like, this guy hates me. And we talked for an hour. They interviewed me. They asked me all these questions. And then he still wasn't sure. So that, you know, it took a few interviews for them to actually hire me. And then he ended up being the most fun-loving, silly, crazy groom I've had. Like, we still text each other all the time with the bride and groom. They're hilarious.
Oh, that's so good.
I think that, yeah, you can't really get a, and people are nervous when they're planning their wedding, you know? So I get it. He's so nervous. They're spending so much money and they were actually paying for the wedding themselves. So they want to make sure everything's perfect. But then after their engagement session and on the wedding day, they're just, we love each other, easygoing, completely different personality came out. He's actually like, he was so silly, like, grabbing her butt and like sticking his tongue out at me. And
did you get good pictures? We had so much of fun. That? Like, it came through.
Yeah. I will share the link with you after this episode's over and you can kind of pick some and maybe share with your followers. Cause they're hilarious. Yes.
Oh yeah. We'd love that.
But other than that, I would say one of my favorite couples this past summer for an engagement showed up super cute. She had her full hair and makeup done and was in a really nice dress. They look so great. And at the end of the shoot, she grabbed his hand and pulled him out in the ocean, all the way out, like fully soaked. So that was amazing. I did not expect that.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's the kind of photos that when we see them, we think, oh, this was this pre-planned, like, you know, big ordeal. But really in the moment, it just was a spontaneous.
Yeah, they shocked me. So since then, I've actually done ocean shots a lot with my couples because they saw their photo and they want it too. So we've done more where it's planned. But that first couple, surprisingly, she's the one that grabbed him. He's like, are you sure? And she's like, yes, get in the ocean. You know, you wouldn't expect that from a girl who has full hair and makeup done and is wearing a nice dress.
I'm just curious to ask you, because you've done a lot of weddings, and I don't know if I'll necessarily put this in the show, but I just had a listener who's getting married this weekend, and her brother passed away 5 years ago, and she wants to honor him by putting a photo, and her dad is reacting really, really, really badly to this. He's getting severely depressed, and he wants her not to put the brother's photo out. Which I'm like, oh my God, like that's hard. But I'm telling her, you need to put his photo out. Your dad's going to be depressed regardless. But I wonder if you've seen anything interesting or unique. I mean, we all see the photos in honor of, right? Or something written. Have you ever seen anything for people who have passed away that in the way that couples honor them?
Mostly just the photos. I had, this is sad, but I had a recent wedding where someone passed away like the week before the wedding and they still had their place setting out and they put like flowers around it and stuff.
God, so, that's so hard.
Yeah, they still left their plate there, which was sweet because they could have just pulled it. But, you know, it was so recent. So they honored it and put flowers on it and made it nice.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that your bride should definitely put his photo out and honor him. It's beautiful and it's her wedding day. And if she wants to bring him there in spirit, then I fully support that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Christy, what did you want
to
ask?
Well, I was going to ask if she about the couple that was on the surfboard. So it's a departure from the emotional. But you did do.
I could change it up.
You did do an engagement session when they were both on surfboards, right?
Actually, that was an anniversary session. And it was her fifth or sixth year wedding anniversary photos. And they were on paddle boards.
I'm sorry. They look like teenagers. So I assumed.
I know. They're so cute. He's a professional musician. And she's actually a wedding photographer as well. She shoots with me sometimes. So they, they're such an adventurous couple. They're in like Fiji or somewhere right now as we speak. They're always doing that kind of stuff.
I hate going to Fiji.
It's just the worst. If I ever go there someday, it's going to be the worst.
They took out their paddle boards in the Dana Point Harbor and rode around, and they brought a bottle of champagne. And I think they even brought rum and Cokes because that's more their jam than champagne.
And what were you, like on a dock?
Oh, so cute. Yeah, there's actually a pier side. So I was down with them on the dock shooting up close. And then I saw that the dock actually led to like a pier. So I went above because I don't have a drone. A lot of people are using drones these days, but I don't use a drone. So I went up on the pier and shot from above when they waited for them to come out under the pier.
Huh.
And they were both just laying there on it. They're so cute.
Yeah, those are really fun pictures.
It was really fun. And when I left, they're like, bye. And they actually stayed on their paddle boards and went out to sea. Yeah, they paddled away.
They paddled into the sunset. They paddled away. Literally.
So I think like that was meaningful for them because that's what they do. They're total beach people, big surfers. I think with your engagement session, it's awesome if you incorporate things that you guys connect on, or if you have anything that you do together already, it's going to make for great photos. It's going to bring you out, bring out your natural personalities and your connection, and it will feel less staged. Like if I took you and Lance out on a paddleboard, it's not going to bring out the same as this couple because that's what they naturally do.
Right.
No offense.
Although we did paddleboard in Hawaii, and the whole time I was looking for sharks, and the guy, this was last year because I'm, you know, terrified of sharks. And the main guy was like, it was a tour of maybe 15 people of us that were staying at this hotel. And he's like, there's no sharks, like jump in. The water's great. This, and I was doing really well. I stayed standing up the whole time, probably 100% because I was so afraid of going in the water. Like people were like falling in and then getting back on their boards. And it was 8:30 in the morning. And it was exhilarating and so fun. And these dolphins came by. And afterwards, I was telling Lance, like, that is not something I normally would ever think that I would love doing. I was pumped up. It was incredible. And the next tour that went out, 20 more people, some of our friends at this hotel, they
sharks.
Were out for 5 minutes. And a huge ass motherfucking tiger shark swam underneath them. And the instructors were like, everybody stay calm. But do not fall in. And they have to paddle back with their fingers, like they're sitting on their boards. And they're all amateurs, and they had to paddle back with their fingers back to the resort. And they all came to like this lunch we had later, and they just look, I mean, everybody looked just like stricken. And by then there were helicopters flying up and down the coastlines for this giant tiger shark they were looking for. So I told Lance afterwards, I'm laughing, you know, but thinking like, we have this story that I'm so grateful we have. I mean, the dolphins, and it was so gorgeous, and I couldn't have asked for a better time. But not 20 minutes later, there was a man-eating predator under those boards. So I'm glad I did it. And you are correct, Ashley. I would not make for good pictures doing that again because I would just look scared, shitless.
And there are sharks here too. There's been a lot of sharks down here in Southern California this past year. So
yes,
like I said, like this couple's big surfers and they're already comfortable with the ocean. They're not afraid. So I wouldn't want to do that with just one of my other couples, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wowza.
No.
I wanted to ask you because I want a specific like fashion style kind of tips from you. But to preface that, I want to tell our listeners that you yourself have kind of like you're a fashion girl. You wear stuff all the time. And when I see your pictures and when we were hanging out in California, that I'll see your outfits and be like, I want to wear that. And then I'll try on something at like Free People or, you know, like those, like it's a little hippie, like you said, but cool and stylish and
Urban Outfitters.
Yeah, interesting combos. And then I'll try it on and be like, yeah, no, I just can't. I can't pull it off, but You can. So,
well, good thing this is just voice and not video, because if you saw me right now, you wouldn't be seeing that.
Well, so Ashley says she's sick, but Christy says, Christy says your voice has always been like this sexy,
it
raspy
is
thing.
Very raspy, but I actually shot 4 weddings between last week and this weekend. So 2 weddings last weekend, 2 weddings this weekend, and I have a toddler. So I'm definitely fighting off that cold and just trying to keep on going. So
that's a lot. 4 weddings in 2 weekends.
Yeah, it
yikes.
Is exhausting, but you know, every wedding's different and fun and exciting. So it keeps me going.
It's the editing that,
The editing. I still, you know, a lot of, actually that's a good thing. This is off topic, but a good thing to ask your wedding photographer is, you know, about their editing, if they do it or they send it out, and just kind of look through their galleries to make sure it's consistent. Cause a lot of people don't do their own editing anymore. They just send it out. There's companies that do it for so cheap, which is, you know, nice on our end, but I still edit all my own weddings cause I want to have that artistic touch on it and that control to make sure that it's consistent to my style.
That is, you know, Ashley, that's a really good point you brought up. And I don't think we've had any photographers talk about that, but it's not the same thing, but we spend a very small amount of time recording this podcast compared to the amount of time I spend editing it.
Yes.
And in my case, it'd probably be better if someone else edited it.
Yeah.
But in your case, there's a whole nother aspect with regard to editing that has so much to do with your personal eye and talent.
And what you saw on the wedding day, like what was really important to them.
Yeah, I think it's more important on a wedding day than an engagement because, you know, I can train someone to do the editing just like me. And if you look through their galleries and you're seeing consistent color and editing and style, then, you know, you're safe. You're going to be fine. But on a wedding day, you know, the outside editor doesn't know if that moment with grandma was extra special or that your nanny that raised, this happened to one of my weddings, like your nanny that raised you your whole life showed up and you have a moment with them. To an editor, it's just another lady and she might include one photo. Mm-hmm. Whereas I was there and I know the bride and I know this really special relationship, so I'm going to include all the photos of that moment.
But this also brings up a couple other questions for me, the editing. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I've put a lot of thought into this, and maybe smack me on the back of the hand, Ashley, but this probably has a lot to do with the amount of money you charge.
Yeah.
Because if you're spending hours upon hours upon hours doing post work, then, you know, you need to be paid for that.
Yeah.
And two, it also...
style. I mean, that's literally like our artistic touch. It's putting, you're completing a photo that way.
Yes, but it also on the back end probably has a lot to do with the amount of time it takes for you to get those photos back to the couple.
Yeah, and I'm kind of a workaholic, so I send all my weddings out in 6 weeks, which is, I think, really fast for editing all myself.
It's good to give yourself a deadline too.
Yeah, I think... definitely the shooting is 10 to 20% of being a photographer. People say it's 10%. And then the other 90% is the editing and then the business end. So I would definitely say, unless you're a film photographer, because films, you know, made a comeback the past couple of years. And when you're on film, you don't really have to do any editing, maybe a tiny bit. But with digital, we're spending a chunk of most of the time editing on the computer.
Okay. That's, I love that you brought that up.
I can send you, actually, I don't know if you guys, do you show photos for this? Because I can send you like a before and after. And
oh, we love
edited
that.
Edited and non-edited. Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. And just, can you throw out some, you know, when somebody's doing an engagement shoot, is there any props or things that you tell people just to bring with them, just to have in case you use them? Are there any ideas?
Oh, and tell us where your girls buy dresses too.
So I think props are a little bit, they're not necessarily my client base, you know, maybe 8 years ago I was shooting people that had little signs that they would hold and a blanket to sit on, a lot of props. Nowadays, if anything, there's you know, a bottle of champagne and they're spraying it for fun, and maybe a little Mexican throw blanket for the beach, but less props now, more movement and emotion and playing and running and having fun.
Awesome.
Also, I choose the location so we don't need as many props. Like the beaches, I want a rock background, or cool, the old mission in San Juan is these old beautiful walls. So there's a lot going on in the locations, so less need for proppy things.
Got it.
And then as far as clothes, most of my girls love Lulu's. The online store, mostly dresses. So all those,
I've ordered several dresses.
I just found that. Yeah. And they're really good price.
I actually just ordered one today.
I forgot, Christy, when you texted me like 6 months ago and I sent that to you. And you
loved
them.
Good quality for the price point too, Michelle. Like you would think, oh, maybe if I wash this dress a couple times, it's not gonna hold up anymore. Or is it lined? Because the flowy dresses, they have to be lined, or else you can see straight through them.
Yeah.
And most of them are, and they're as pretty on bridesmaids and for engagement shoots as they are online. I'm a big
L-U-L-U-S.
And you said they are true to fit, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, that's good.
I actually order smalls, and I think that's because all their dresses come in extra small. So anyway, I'm like giving you my own fan review on this, everyone, but I can speak to that a normal woman, and I'm also 36, so it's not like it's, you know, all the dresses are for 20-year-olds. They're really well
Ooh,
made.
I love this. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then there's ASOS, ASOS. It's another online, a lot of people are ordering from them. Free People, of course, is always really good for that flowy bohemian. You know, and everyone has their own style. So what I'll do is I'll send my clients a Pinterest board of outfit inspiration that I put together for them. And I kind of pin things for the bohemian bride, for the black tie wedding bride. So there's a little bit of everything on there, so you could at least see how different things photograph.
And I saw that Revolve.
Revolve. I was just going to put Revolve.
Which we've mentioned. Mm-hmm. But what was that other one, that LA-based one I'd never heard of? Flynn something?
Oh, Flynn Sky. She's amazing.
I'll include links to that.
Their stuff's amazing. They're a little bit of like it's well-made quality clothes, a little bohemian as well. I'd say the price point's a little higher than Lulu's, but they're very trendy in style. Love their stuff.
Excellent. I wanted a list of those shops because I think if anybody's looking through your Instagram page, it does look like these women might all shop kind of at the same places. Mm-hmm. So between that, those dresses, and then hair and makeup, is something that you
we didn't really mention
encourage?
This,
or?
For sure. So when you're getting your hair and makeup for your wedding, you're all often going to get a trial done first. I always encourage you to book your trial for the date of your engagement session, because you're kind of killing two birds with one stone. You're getting your trial out of the way and see what it photographs like, but then you're also looking amazing and beautiful for your photos. And then when you get your engagement photos back, you can see how that makeup photographed. Oftentimes when you get it done, you feel like it's really heavy. You know, like, oh, I have way too much makeup. I don't normally look like this. But when you get the photos back, you'll see that, you know, you do want to go a little heavier for photos. It doesn't show up like you feel in person.
Mm-hmm.
So
especially with like eyelashes, I feel like.
Yeah, definitely get eyelashes. They're amazing.
That's big out here in Texas in the South, that they do their trials on the day of their bridal shoots.
Mm. Or that
which
too,
is,
yeah.
Yeah. Bridals aren't as big out there, right? It's like
no.
They happen, but definitely engagements.
I'll do a boudoir shoots for my brides sometimes, but I don't think I've done maybe like one bridal shoot a year. We don't really do that out here. We do the engagement and then the boudoir.
Well, very good. Any last like wrap it up nuggets, Ashley, that you'd want people to know?
I think just have fun with it. Go out on your engagement session. Know that, you know, you don't get your photos done all the time. It's a special day, but don't take yourself too seriously. Don't be afraid to goof around and kiss each other. And, you know, your photographer is seeing it all. So if you're making out in front of her or him, they're not going to feel awkward. Just have fun with it.
Nice. This is great. Yeah. Thank you so, so much for
thank you, girls.
For taking the time to be on our show. And I'm loving your Instagram feed. Thank you for that. And if our listeners want to find you, where should they go?
They can go to my website is ashleypagephoto.com and my Instagram is also at ashleypagephoto.
Awesome.
Or come to California. I'll meet you in Laguna Beach.
Yeah, and I'll go too. I'll be your planner. Ashley can be your photographer and we'll have fun.
Let's do
I've worked with Ashley and it's a picture of those the umbrellas. That's the one I always post about.
Oh yeah, because it rained.
Yeah, and you had a clear umbrella. It was perfect. Anyways, we'll share all this stuff. But thanks again.
Thank you so much. Thanks for filling me in on the news too. I don't really read the news.
Yeah, well, you know,
so.
Be careful with those window seats.
I gotta go Google it.
Oh God.
Thanks, girl.
All right, Christy.
Yes. So hit us up, everyone. Twitter, TBWP Podcast, Instagram, The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. And on Facebook, The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, hashtag everything, plan that wedding.
Very important.
And we'll be including pictures from at Ashley Page Photo on our Instagram feed and link all that together. We have an email address, thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. And we have a Patreon page if you want to throw us $5 a month because you think our advice is so awesome. We would love that. Lots of exclusive benefits there described as well. And we have a phone number. And you can leave us a message.
Please, I want to hear your voice. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the show. That number is 415-723-1625.
Excellent. Love you. Love your face. See you later.
Love you. Love your show. Talk to you next week. Happy planning, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.